it's Bruins Bender post-game live game. Another Bruins victory in Toronto. Bruins win it 3-1 in what was really a defensive clinic from the get-go from Boston. Very few breakdowns, very disciplined. And it started with a couple of power plays for Toronto early that I thought each came up with just one shot apiece. The Bruins did a really good job penalty killing, took the air out of the building, set the tone for the game.
Agree 100%. The specialty teams has been the difference in the series. I mean, 100%. The Bruins' power play and penalty kill has been far superior to the Leafs. The Bruins have 5 or 6 power play goals. The Leafs have 1. That's the difference in the series right now. And it did absolutely set the tone. And then the Bruins were able to grab the lead and just went on from there. A really, really solid overall defensive effort from Boston in this one.
Yeah, and Toronto, you know, not much going on for them offensively. And again, a lot of it was Boston. A lot of it, the credit goes to them for how they played defensively. They really were stout in front of Swayman. They shut down any kind of passing lane, shooting lanes that Toronto had, and it kind of took the air. And you saw that Toronto is mentally kind of fragile in this series, and it was shown in the postgame comments by Sheldon Keefe last game. Like, you could see that Swayman was in their heads, Marchand was in their heads, and you could see they were unsure again because they have a history of not coming through. So they were fragile to begin with, and the Bruins did exactly what they needed to do to kind of step on them early and keep them in that fog that they're in. And now I'm not sure where the Maple Leafs turn to from here.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I really don't. You thought they would maybe get a bump from Nylander being back, and he was terrible for most of the game. I mean, he came on late there a little bit. Swayman had to make a big stop on him in the third period after the Marner had cut it to 3-1. That might have been the save of the game for the Bruins, because if that gets to 3-2 on that Nylander goal, mm-hmm. the place is jumping, because it would have been mm-hmm. a couple goals in like 5 minutes. The Leafs were really, really pushing at that point. And then he just takes a dreadful penalty on DeBrusk after the Leafs have like a minute and a half of zone time. He just pulls him down. DeBrusk doesn't even have a stick, so it's not like he would have won the race to the puck or anything. So just a terrible penalty to take by Nylander. And, you know, he really kind of let them down there. And they didn't get the kind of lift from him you would have thought they did. And the Bruins just smothered them defensively. Their stick position all night was excellent. Their layers were excellent. Anytime a pass seemed to get through a Bruins player, there was another player there ready to deflect a shot or the pass. The Bruins just were smothering defensively, and it was really a solid road effort by them.
Yeah, from the get-go. And, you know, there's some of the stories in this one. Auston Matthews leaves the game about midway through the second or the third, where he leaves the game due to some food poisoning, was the report from TNT. It was interesting because there was a little bit of an exchange that was caught on social media between Nylander, Marner, Matthews on the bench, kind of squawking at each other. Nylander seemed to say something like, you know, shut up and fight through it or something like that. And Matthews is kind of barking back and forth with him. And then Matthews is gone after that, which was interesting. But on the broadcaster was saying that Matthews looked a little sluggish. He hasn't been himself since game 2 when he was excellent.
Yeah.
And that's part of the issue, is that he really carried them in game 2, set the tone for them. There's really nobody there to do that for them when he's gone. He's a big part of the team, biggest part of the team. And without him, they're really grasping at straws. Marner tried to do it. I thought he played pretty well. He scored the goal. He brought a little bit of energy to them. But for the most part, without Matthews, they're in real trouble.
They are in real trouble. And just to kick back onto the Bruins' defensive effort, they blocked 27 shots tonight to the Leafs 6. So that just shows you they're sacrificing the body and laying out to keep pucks out of their own. I thought they were excellent through the neutral zone too tonight. denying the Maple Leafs speed through the neutral zone. They had to chip it in. And I thought the Bruins defenseman tonight did a really good job of getting pucks out there. There were only a few times tonight where I felt like they were really hemmed in. One of those times came in the third after the Marner's goal, and the Leafs put a few shifts together where they kind of hemmed the Bruins in. But other than that, I really thought the Bruins defense did a really nice job of getting pucks out of the zone tonight. I thought the forwards helped a lot with that. I thought Heinen was excellent. I thought Charlie Coyle played another fantastic 200-foot game, going against Matthews for most of the game. And then, you know, Marner or Tavares, whoever he was up against, I thought Coyle really kind of won the battle there. And as David Ilsley chimes in, Kylo was a blanket on the Toronto forwards. And it's absolutely true. He was fantastic yet again, shutting down plays with his stick position. He jumped into the offense a few times, had a almost a backhand shelf job where he shot it over the net. But, you know, Brandon Kylo's had a really, really good series so far. So hopefully that can continue for the Bruins.
Yeah, and it was a really great effort all around. And it, again, there were very few breakdowns, very few turnovers. They were doing a good job of bringing the guy to the middle. And when they did, they brought a guy from the half boards to the middle for like an outlet pass. It was typically wide open. They were able to transition the puck ahead, keep the puck out of their own zone, but also possess the puck through the neutral zone so that it wasn't quick transition back the other way. It was just a really, really good effort all the way around by them. And then Swayman was there when you needed him, and he was a stone wall. The only goal was sort of a guy standing around, puck gets deflected off someone, goes right to Marner, makes a beautiful play, scores the goal, it's fine. But it starts with JVR. And we talked about JVR after the post game, is that we liked him in the lineup because he's a legitimate NHL goal scorer with over 300 goals in his career.
Yes.
And he showed it tonight.
First goal
of the game. He makes a really good goal scorer's goal by just coming forehand to backhand, slides it through the five hole, and gets him on the board.
Yeah, and I said to you guys in the text chain while we were talking about this that I would have bet my entire life savings that Jakub Lauko would not have scored that goal
in that same
situation. Right. He just showed unbelievable poise. He knew he had time, makes a little move, forehand, backhand, and in. And that's JVR's office. That's where he made his living his entire NHL career. And he knows what to do in that situation. And it showed, and it got him off to the lead that they needed. It's really big for the Bruins to score first in Toronto and kind of take that crowd out of it, because that crowd can get rowdy and raucous and both directions, because it got on the Leafs there late in the game. They were booing, and it's a tough place to play. A lot of pressure on those guys to bring the Leafs back to glory. So it kind of works both ways. When they're going good, it's a buzzsaw, but when they're going bad, it can deflate the team too.
Sure, it sure can. And then the second goal, Brad Marchand, we've talked about Charlie McAvoy and the power play and how he struggles some. He tries to find guys a little bit too much, make some plays that aren't there, forcing plays. But he makes a really good hesitation sort of play with the puck, gets it to Marchand, who has a wide open net for a one-timer to make it 2-0. And the captain, again, another brilliant game from him. And we're starting to see where maybe this is the type of playoff run that really solidifies his legacy, maybe.
Yeah, I think it could. I think he probably needs to win a few more rounds in order for that to be solidified. But he did move into first place all time in goals for the Bruins, passing Cam Neely, 56 goals for Marchand, 55 for Neely. Neely obviously in much fewer games, but you have to give credit to both guys because, Marchand's been doing it for a long time and showing up in big moments for a long time. You know, going back to Game 7 in the Cup Finals when he was a young guy to, the last two games in this series. He's been probably one of the best, if not the best player on the ice, I thought, last game, certainly towards the end of the game, and then in this game as well.
Yeah, vintage Brad Marchand, really, in the last two games here. And then, of course, David Elsie chimes in with, this is when the crowd turns on the Leafs like Rocky IV. And they do, by booing them. And you could just see that the Toronto Maple Leafs kind of lost a lot of steam when the booing started. Like, there was no answer. There was no... And here's the difference. In game number three, the Bruins faced a lot of adversity and fought through it, kept fighting through it, and then they end up prevailing and they win. And Toronto sees the same thing tonight and doesn't pull through. And you see a major difference in why the Bruins, you know, could and should potentially win this series.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Bruins have had to fight through some adversity, you know, with the penalty calls in Toronto and maybe some things that they thought should have went a different way and didn't. And they still found a way to win, though, when things didn't go the way they thought they should. And the Leafs, you know, tonight had the similar opportunity to kind of fight through some things. You know, they get, you know, JVR scores on a, you know, a good pinch by Lowry, you know, but they have power play opportunities and they just can't do anything with it. And then the Bruins capitalize on their power play and now they're down 2-0. And it's just kind of, you know, they can't seem to make the big plays when they need to kind of dig themselves out of a hole. And it just, there's a really good contrast between the Bruins and the Leafs in that situation where you're getting, you know, a guy like Marchand steps up when he needs to step up, scores a big goal in game three, and then, you know, a couple of great plays here in game four to kind of ice the game for the Bruins. So, you know, it shows how much and how far the Leafs still have to go, I think, with their kind of character and culture and how they do things in order to get over the hump in the playoffs.
For sure. And then the third goal is just one of those plays that Brad Marchand makes. It's funny how life is sometimes, because Austin Matthews makes a play in game two where the puck's in the air. He brings it down. He scores, goes by his McAvoy and scores. This is a similar type of play where the puck's up in the air by the blue line and it falls down. And Marchand just makes a great hand-eye coordination play, then comes in and really a quick 2-on-0 with limited space and makes a fantastic little feather pass over to Pastrnak for the goal, and that was the dagger.
Oh, right, absolutely, there. It was the dagger. Yeah. And an underrated great play by Zacha to get the puck into the zone to give Marchand a chance. You know, Lindholm with a quick up. Zacha is getting challenged kind of at the blue line, you know, red line area there, and chips it ahead and gives Marchand a chance, pokes it by the defenseman, and then a little kick to the stick, you know, and then the pass just, you know, world class, and Pasta makes no mistake. And yeah, that was the dagger. That was it. Lights out. Go home.
Yeah, so then Toronto gets their only goal from Marner. And then you think, okay, well, here we go. The crowd's going to get back into it. You mentioned the play by Nylander where he has a similar sort of opportunity than Marner did, but he doesn't score. Swayman's up to the task. And then they have a power play with about 5.5 to go, which I swear to God, it looked like John Tavares had money on the game and made like a terrible shot attempt and then a turnover and then throws it in deep with nobody there where the Bruins could easily possess. And he killed, I thought, 45 seconds to a minute by himself in this penalty, in this power play. And Tavares is a guy, he scored in this series earlier. But again, every single year, it seems to be that, what are you really getting from John Tavares? You know, what kind of player really is? He puts up all sorts of stats and you look a point per game type of player. But then when push comes to shove, when does he take you home at the end of the night?
I don't think he does. I mean, he's really been on losing teams. All the Islanders teams he was on, like, they weren't winning teams. They were losing teams. This Leafs team, you know, with him as captain, has never got over the hump. So he's always kind of been a guy that's just, you know, regular season stats are great. But when the money's on the table, he's the captain of their team. I mean, he should be driving play and creating opportunities. I know he's getting up there in age, but so is Brad Marchand. And he's out there fighting, winning puck battles. Marchand made three clears in the last minute with the Leafs net empty to ice the game. And that's what you want from your leader. That's, you know, making the right plays in, at the right times to close the game out. And, you know, that's the difference between a guy who's, you know, won some games, won some playoff series, and John Tavares.
And Brad Marchand doesn't get enough credit for that, you know, as good of a penalty killer as he is for his career. I mean, he's been an excellent penalty killer. He scores a ton of shorthanded goals, you know, a record. But he also is a great penalty killer. And you're right, he had three, like, indirect little clears off the boards that were identical in that power play.
He batted one out of the air along the right wing boards. He batted one out of the air, too, along the right wing boards to get one out. So, he does a little bit of everything. Makes a play. He also had a play, I think it might have been on the Leafs power play, where there was a cross-ice pass from the left wing circle to kind of the low right slot. And the guy was open, and Marchand kind of slunk down and deflected the pass into the corner. And that was just indicative of how the Bruins played tonight with their stick positions, because they were really, really good getting in passing lanes and just kind of disrupting the Leafs in the offensive zone.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, the Bruins sort of iced the game at the end. They're really suffocating. Maple Leafs don't really have much. And about 2 minutes to go, the boos just get deafening. The Maple Leafs just are holding the puck in their own zone, just trying to wait for something to happen, someone to break free or something. They just didn't have any answers for the Bruins' defensive effort. And, again, it was everyone to a man. Good team defensive hockey, and then capitalizing on the opportunities you get and winning 3-1. And of course, we look back to the decision to place Jeremy Swayman instead of Linus Ullmark. We had a poll up with about 270 votes or so, and it was a landslide of like 86-14% in favor of Swayman to play. It looked like Montgomery, by saying that we're going to stick to the plan, that he was going to play Ullmark. A little bit of a mind.
Yeah, a little bit of gamesmanship from Monty. I kind of like it. Kind of like it because I tell you, it got the Bruins fan base fired up. It was like, what the hell is he talking about? What the hell is he doing?
It got me drinking. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, really?
He fooled everybody with that one. But, you know, a smart play by him to kind of, you know, maybe the Leafs get their hopes up and then see Swayman's actually going to be the guy in net and maybe their shoulders sink. And I was going to lose my mind if he played Ullmark in game four. I was not prepared to deal with that mentally or physically.
No.
And I would have lost my shit 100% if we had to watch Ullmark in game four tonight, but we did not. And Swayman came through big, made some big saves in the third when they were desperately needed, and then, you know, the Bruins come away with the win and have won two in a row now. First team to win two in a row in the series. They take both in Toronto, which is nice. And then, you know, hopefully they're looking to close it out in game five at home.
And as David says on the comments, TBS broadcast did say it was Lundqvist who said that Swayman has been the best goalie of the playoffs. And I would concur. So here's the thing. Last year, the Bruins, similar situation, win two on the road, go up 3-1, look like they have the series in command. They're going to go ahead and finish it off. Same situation this season. Last season, Montgomery decides to play Bergeron, coming off injury, not 100%, has three of the worst games of his career. Afterwards, they lose the series. He messes up the lines, just completely overcoaches the thing. Do you come back now with Ullmark in game five?
Hell no, you don't.
Another overthink, overcoach situation.
No.
If he comes back with Ullmark.
I'll lose my shit again if he does it. Right. The goalie rotation needs to be. Okay, Monty, are you listening? are you listening? This is what the goalie rotation needs to be. Swayman plays until he loses.
Right.
And then once he loses, you can flip him if you want, or you can go back to Swayman again. I don't give a fuck. But Swayman has been the best goalie in the playoffs. He should be playing all the time. right now.
I mean, there's been no indication that he's backing off, that there's been no indication that he's losing the great momentum he has right now. The goal that had they had tonight, it was just a great play by Meyer.
Yeah, it was.
He made a couple of tremendous saves when they really needed, including the Nylander save and another save later that I don't even know how he saw the puck and he made the save. So he's handling the puck brilliantly. He's in position brilliantly. And the Leafs don't know what the hell to do with him.
They do not.
And so that's really, they're talking to each other on the bench. Like, you got three of the best players in the league yipping at each other on the bench because they don't know how to solve it. They don't know how to score the goals. So I'm saying you don't do it at all. You've got, you just don't do it at all. You just keep Swayman in there, like you said, until he loses, and then you make a decision because you have the benefit now of having a really good goalie behind him. Fine. But you play Swayman, because if you don't play Swayman and Allmark comes in and loses game five, you give some momentum back.
Yeah, then you're going back to Toronto again.
Why do that?
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And Dave Ilsley just chimes in again. For all the reasons you already listed, Toronto is not Florida from last year. They lack the physical and mental toughness and asshole factor of the Panthers. He is 100% correct.
100%.
And so hopefully the Bruins will play Swayman in game five and close it out in game five. And hopefully this Panthers, Tampa Bay won tonight to extend that series. And hopefully they win again and again and push that thing to a game seven.
Yeah.
And game seven goes like 12 overtimes, and they play until the next day. It's the longest hockey game in the history of the world, and their both teams are exhausted for whoever wins, and hopefully the Bruins can face a tired, worn down team in round two.
Tampa Bay and the Islanders both extended their series tonight. So here are a couple of guys I want to talk about. One was Mason Lowry. I thought Lowry really looked comfortable tonight. I thought he played even better than he did the last time. He had some hiccups the last game. This game, he was pretty solid, both defensively and offensively. Looks like he's getting really comfortable. Looks like he could be a really good player for them for some time. And I thought Pat Maroon was pretty good tonight. Like, it looked like he was finding his game. He was possessing the puck a little bit more. He was a little more noticeable. And it was offensive. It wasn't just the sort of the leadership toughness thing. It was possessing the puck, creating a little bit of chances, like just looked like he was finding his game after the layoff he's had.
I agree. I think Maroon was excellent tonight. And I think, you know, you have to expect after the layoff that he had that he was going to have some rust to his game. But he seemed to have found it. And, you know, it may take some time. He's still probably getting his legs under him. But he was better tonight, and I thought that line as a whole was pretty good. You pointed out there was a play, a puck battle in the Bruins zone behind the net where Boqvist comes in and hits Nylander, kind of bumps him off the puck, and Nylander just disengages and was like, yep, go ahead.
Did you see that?
Yeah, wow. Boqvist takes the puck and just skates it out of the zone. Yeah, and the Bruins, I mean, it may have not been an odd man rush, but it was at least, you know, a zone clear, you know, and then, you know, changing into the Bruins taking it into his own entry, into the offensive zone. So, you know, that whole line as a whole I thought was really good. I thought Beecher was good. Boqvist was noticeable. I thought the defensive effort, and we keep harping on it, but overall, like, the entire team, front to back, just defensive structure, sticks position, the way they were slowing the Leafs down through the neutral zone, I think, and they didn't give really any odd man, I can't remember an odd man chance that the Leafs had in the game. So the Bruins were really, really solid defensively, and that, you know, was a key reason that the Bruins won this game.
There was one chance. It was near the latter part of the game where there was a potential 4-on-2 for Toronto. And Pavel Zacha makes this really sneaky good back check.
Yes.
Where they had a real chance to create some sort of danger chance. And he just made a really good hustle back check play, disrupted the play, and it was over. That was the only real time I can remember them having any type of odd man thing at all. The Bruins were just really structured defensively. You mentioned the layers. that Shaq talks about all the time. Like, yeah, they had great layers. Like, there was another guy coming. There were times it looked like a guy, the Bruins had 7 or 8 guys on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, they may have because they can't, because they can't get the, they can't get the too many men thing figured out yet, and it's driving me nuts. But it's like, you know, can we wait to make a change or touch the puck and figure it out?
That was a weird play because Carlo tries to make a play that's not there. It hits the leg.
Right.
It ends up over. Yeah, I mean,
it was.
You know, it was kind of one of those.
Yeah, it was kind of it was a fluky thing, but I mean, that's the second one in the series.
It is maddening. Yeah, it is maddening. And Mark says that we're being shared and on the Facebook pages, Beantown for Bruins. Let's go, Bruins. Thanks a lot for sharing. And thanks, everyone, for watching. This has been a great this is our best, most viewed post game right now.
Yeah.
And it's been great, and we appreciate it. So coming up now, we want Swayman in game 5.
Yes.
I mean, that's a given. I wouldn't make any lineup changes, Monty.
No.
Like, let's not do that again. Let's just stay with what we have. I think Motherspoon is getting... That's another guy. Like, he had that hiccup when he first entered the playoffs. He's getting better and better and more accustomed to the pace. Seems more comfortable. I thought Hampus Lindholm was pretty good tonight. Like, he was more assertive. He was moving the puck better. He was in position more. Like, he was just feeling comfortable. And I think that it's just kind of feeding off. Everybody's kind of feeding off each other and playing really good hockey right now and have a system down that they are seeing is working against Toronto, which is the most important part.
It is the most important part. They have a very good game plan. I don't know who devised it or who came up with it, but whoever did, kudos to them because they do have a good game plan going into the series to kind of slow down the Leafs' attack, and it's worked so far. Sean Combs, Puffy? Nickname? No?
Puffy.
Bruins play a great game. I didn't know Puffy was a Bruins fan. Would have thought he was a Rangers fan or an Islanders fan, maybe.
Yeah.
Devils. We'll see.
We may just have one of those famous Puffy parties tonight.
And then David Ilsley chimes in that Lowry looks like a tall 15-year-old, which he does. He is a baby face. I don't know if he's going to be able to grow the playoff beard. That's going to be an issue for him, I think.
Yeah.
But that's okay because he's playing well. He's playing like a veteran. He jumped up in the play a couple times, had some really good chances. There was one, I think they said, if he was a – oh, no, that was Carlos' chance. They said if he was
a left shot.
A left shot. It's probably
go to the backhand.
Probably a goal.
Right.
But he did jump up.
If it was low right, it's probably a goal.
Yeah, he did jump up into the play a few times and made some good plays. He didn't seem to get caught out of place. There was a couple of plays where McAvoy, steps up and the puck kind of gets by him. And Lowry comes up with a big block, sells out, and makes the play. So, he's gaining some more experience. And like you said, I think down the line, he's going to be a guy that you really build around and look to be, a 20, 25-minute a night guy that's going to be a cornerstone for the Bruins for a long time.
An interesting topic for discussion. We won't do it now because it's a post game, but an interesting topic for discussion later on. Does he make Hampus Lindholm expendable?
Yes, I mean we have thrown this around. We'll leave that as a big market tease for you guys. We'll have to
teaser in the business.
Tune in for an episode where we break that down. That'll probably be a summertime thing when we're talking about the makeup of next year's roster and free agency and so forth. But we both have some thoughts on that and what could happen down the line there with the Bruins decor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, their decor is set for next year financially, and right now it's looking really good. And Matt Grizzlick's been out a couple in a row now. Doesn't think unless there's injury, he probably won't draw back in anytime soon. And this will be the end of sort of the line for him too, because I don't think they're going to re-sign him, the local guy. It's too bad because I think that Grizzlick had some good years here and good times here and good, obviously last year plus 48, whatever the hell it was. Like he was a good player at times here for sure. And it's too bad because this is what they've had to do because he's been kind of a liability in the postseason. And now the defense, they've added Motherspoon, they added Peak who's hurt. They've, given Lowry the chance, which I really clamored for to start the series. Start low ride, play low ride, see what you have. Mm-hmm. Here we are. So, but it's too bad with Grizzly. You know, unless there's some injury, I don't think you're going to see him back.
I agree. I don't think you will. I think you have to ride with what's working for you. And then, you know, if you do get past the series, you're looking at, a Florida team or a Tampa mm-hmm. Bay team that have some more size and physicality up mm-hmm. front, you know, your Essamonts and Janots on Tampa and Sorelli. And then obviously, you know, Tkachuk and, you know, Cousins and, you know, there's a bunch of guys on Florida that will hit you and put you through the glass. So that series probably wouldn't be a great matchup for Grizzly anyway. So, unlikely to see him, I think, unless there's a guy or two gets hurt. Cause I think they may go to Forbort in the next round if something were to happen to one of these guys, just because of the matchup with his size and physicality, you know, versus what Grizzly brings to the table.
Right. And I'll tell you, we gave it to McAvoy a bit last postgame, and I thought McAvoy responded with a really good game tonight. Solid. Made a really good play that Brickley actually called out, or a kind of a diving play where he made a last gasp effort to clear the puck late in the game. Mm-hmm. And I thought McAvoy was good. He set up the goal on the power play. There was one segment early, though, where he got caught on the ice without change. They couldn't get Shattenkirk out there, and it was a fumble city power play, and I lost my mind. I'm like, and as soon as Shattenkirk got on the ice with about 30 seconds left in the power play, he gets the puck on net. And I'm like, oh, can we get Shattenkirk out there on the power play one unit? But then McAvoy later on sets up the goal for Marchand, and I thought he had a really good game.
He did have a good game overall, I thought. I agree. There were some plays early on, especially on the power play, where I still think he defers too much to Pastrnak. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a play where he kind of soft pass over for the one timer and it gets poked away and then cleared, where, you know, he had a shooting lane. Like they don't play him to shoot, really.
No.
So he's got to start shooting more. He just like, that's one of the things that Shattenkirk does that makes that other unit effective, is he does not defer to anybody. If he gets it on his stick and he has a lane, it's going towards the net. And then people can crash or tip or whatever, and he does an excellent job of getting pucks through, which is another problem that McAvoy has. He's not the greatest at finding shooting lanes and getting pucks all the way to the net. He might get it by the first guy, but then it's maybe blocked by the second guy, or, you know, it's not on net. So, you know, he's got some growing to do, certainly, on the power play, but I think as an overall defenseman, defensively, when he plays within himself and doesn't get a little too, you know, I got to be Bobby Orr and get up the ice and create offensively, he's one of the best two-way defensemen in the league. And that's fine if you're not a Norris guy. If you want to be a 40-50 point guy and a shutdown defenseman too, I'll take that all fucking day, all day. Because he gives you a little offense and the defense. Like, that's what you pay him for.
Sure.
You know, you're not getting paid to be Cale Makar. You're not that. No. You know, be a shutdown defenseman. And then chip in offensively and straighten out yourself on the power play, and you'll be a great Bruin for a long, long time. But until he kind of figures that out, he's going to struggle here and there at times, even though, you know, most of the time he's really good.
For sure. And then finally about David Pastrnak, he had some trouble 5-on-5 during the series. Only two shots on net 5-on-5 coming into the game. And it was nice to see him get the goal, even though it was largely Marchand, but he finished it, got the goal. Nice to get him on the score sheet, because he, you know, he faces a lot of criticism, and people again are saying, is he disappearing and that sort of thing. But he gets the goal. I thought he was a little bit better tonight. He does scare the crap out of me just inside the blue line. When he gets up high toward the blue line, he lost the puck a couple times. Now the Bruins were ready for it and were able to stop any transition. But those are the types of plays that gets him in trouble, where he loses space, loses the puck, turns it over, transition the other way. Defensemen are flat-footed. that's the bad turnover that he can't make. There were a couple of them tonight, but I thought overall, I thought that he was skating well and he was a little bit more of a threat than he had been during the series.
I agree. I think that's true. Turnovers are his issue, especially on the power play. And I think the criticism that we gave John Tavares is certainly criticism that David Pastrnak has heard around here for the similar reasons. That's part of the reason that Bruins power play the last, you know, month and a half was struggling, is because him and Marchand and McAvoy too, to a certain extent, were all making bad decisions with the puck, turning it over and just not being sound with it, you know, in the right spots. You can't do the creative, you know, dipsy do stuff just inside or outside your offensive or defensive blue lines. It's just not where you make those plays. You make them down low where there's layers and you have guys back so that if you do turn it over, you know, you're not giving the other team a breakaway or an odd man rush. So he really needs to kind of get that part of it out of his game. You know, you're going to live with the turnovers and the creativity, but you'd rather not have it happen in those places on the ice.
Yeah, for sure. And but I think overall, again, the Bruins had a effort tonight. They get two huge wins in Toronto. They take a 3-1 lead into Tuesday's game. So now two more nights off, even more reason to play Swayman.
Correct.
Two nights off in between the travel back to Boston, where the Bruins have a chance to close out the Toronto Maple Leafs again and keep the streak alive. Haven't lost to Toronto in a playoff series since 1959. Game 5 will be Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at TD Garden. We thank you for joining us again on the Bruins Benders post-game.
No, we got to do predictions. Predictions.
Oh, prediction. Prediction? Okay, yeah. Prediction. Cut the music. Prediction.
They won both these last two games, and I said 3-2 in overtime. So you can bet I'm going 3-2 in overtime again. Bruins.
Bring the house down. Who gets the game winner?
Sticking with it. We'll go with Brad Marchand. Why not?
A little Smitty overtime challenge.
Yeah.
We're going
Smitty overtime challenge. Bruins Benders Smitty overtime challenge. Brad Marchand wins game 5 and the series. 3-2.
In overtime.
Yeah.
And the place goes bonkers.
Correct.
Okay. I'm going... You know what I'm going? I'm going.
You want to say like 5-1, don't you?
I'm going to go like 4-0 or 5-1.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to go 4-0.
Good.
Swayman shutout. Like, let's start the Conn Smythe talk. Like, I'm going.
I love that. Let's bury these motherfuckers. I love it.
Let's bury them. Let's bury them 4-0. I think score early. You know, they just don't want to be there. They're ready to head home. They're bitching at each other. Sheldon Keefe is whining on the bench. I'm all for it. I'm all about it. I love it. 4-0. Boston. Tuesday.
Love it.
Be there or be square.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a beaut. All right, so Bruins Benders Post Game Live will be back on Tuesday night. Thanks a lot for joining us, and go Bruins.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Turn it up.